Good morning, everyone. This is our Positive Chats podcast this morning. I'm with Dr. Connie Clark. Connie is an author that wrote a book called Understanding and Loving Your Bonus Child. So, just a little information. You've been in private practice for more than 30 years, specializing in marriage and family relationships, communication skills, anger management techniques. So, previously a college psychology professor. She also worked with a cognitive behavioral therapist at Texas Children's Hospital at Texas Medical Center in Houston. So, and you have a husband, Ken, married 28 years?
Yes.
Yeah, awesomeness. Live in Houston, Texas, boating, fishing, and spending time with your three adult children, and you have four grandchildren.
Yes, four. Nice.
I got five, so.
Wow! You got one more than I do.
Yeah, and I like you. I have a bonus child as well, so I understand how that works out. So, but in your book, we were talking about some really good points about your bonus child, and you were talking about how so important if you so parenting topics. I mean, some of them are so outdated, and you're talking about bring them up into the modern time. So talk to us about that. Why do you feel that's so important?
Well, I think there, you know, the term step parent, step child, I think that's a term from the past. And I know we're trying to make it more positive, just like you're saying, your radio station is more positive. So we're trying to move over to using the term bonus child instead of stepchild. And I think there's some negative connotation to that. And of course, step parents, you know, we've heard all that, like from Cinderella, the wicked step parents, you know. So we're trying to get away from that negative connotation.
Right. Yeah, I get that. So, and you have personal experience, so you obviously have a bonus child.
Actually, I have three. The children we have, yes. My husband, Ken, was married before, and so when we got married, I was an instant mom. And so, but not only was that kind of adjustment for me, but then three bonus kids. And so it's just a real important topic to my heart, and in my practice, I just see so many parents, you know, either bringing their kids in to let me help them adjust to being in a bonus family or, you know, bonus parent. It was just a need that came up. And then of course, New Life, which is who helped me with the book, they also get a lot of calls. If you listen on their radio show, there's so many parents and grandparents calling in asking for advice. And so it really is a need that I'm hoping that the Christian community continues to embrace and give resources to. And that was the reason for the book.
Yeah. Personal experience, that's great, because, you know, a lot of people don't understand. If they don't have the bonus children, they don't get it.
Right.
So I get it. And so what do you think are some of the biggest challenges that these blended families face today?
Well, I think as the parents get married, they got this new marriage, this new soulmate they're so excited about, and they just are ready to start this great family. And they kind of forget that the kids did not choose the new bonus parent. And so there is so much adjustment that goes with the kids. And so what happens, I think, is a lot of times the parents are trying to just be this one big happy family. And that is such an unrealistic expectation. I think that's the number one thing that people forget, is they do have unrealistic expectations. They're excited to get started. The kids are not.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got a lot of hurt still going on. And so you've got to focus on the kids. And I think there's just some misbeliefs that go that, oh, well, we got to focus on making sure the step parent or the bonus parent is feeling welcomed. And really, you got to start with the kids.
Yeah. Because, you know, we choose this, but they kind of are just along for the ride.
And yes.
So they do get messed. And of course, with having their actual parent too, I feel that was a big challenge. I know growing up with my bonus daughter, was, you're not my mom, I have a mom. So, mm-hmm. and so any advice on that?
Yeah, that's the dreaded word. That's the dreaded phrase. You're not my mom. You're not my dad. Yeah. And I think it's really good. Just come back and say, it sounds like you're, I mean, I know this sounds so therapeutic, but just to remind them, you know, hey, you know, I can tell you're really frustrated. I am not trying to be your mom. I'm not trying to be your dad. Mm-hmm. In fact, being, you know, like a very caring uncle or aunt is what I usually tell the bonus parent. Don't try to be the mom, and yeah. always, you know, let them know I'm not trying to replace that. And it can also come into play where, you know, the ex is feeling threatened too. And so you have to, it's so many balls that you're juggling in this bonus family, but it can be done. It just has to be intentional.
Yeah. Yeah. I found that how many times over the years I said, I'm not your mom, but
however, I do need you to talk to me in a nice tone. Yes.
So you talk about in the book, the best co-parent, is God, that you, God is the best co-parent. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Sierra's over here. Sierra has a question.
All right. Sierra, hi.
Oh, your mic's not on. Sorry. Where are you?
So I was just going to piggyback on that comment that you made, that sometimes you just need to communicate that, you know, I'm not trying to be the other parent, but I want to support you. Mm-hmm. So would you say that a bottom line of a lot of, you know, a successful blended family would come down to communication?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it, not just the communication, but so many facets of that, like the tone of our voice, whether it's, you know, loud or soft, and, you know, speaking respectfully is very important to do. We have to model that to our kids. We can't expect them to be respectful and talk to us in a pleasant tone if we're not doing that. And so, oh, I absolutely agree with you, Sarah, that the communication is key. Really?
Okay. And you talk about that in your book, Healthy Communication Patterns and Skills. Is there something like specific you would like to share with listeners that you go over?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the couple that I'm working with. But specifically, I think, again, just being really, if you have to bring up something that's uncomfortable, whether you don't like the tone of someone's voice, you don't like that they're not doing chores or whatever, if it's a negative thing, there is a technique. It's called the soft hard technique. And you start off soft by saying, hey, I know this is really hard for you. I'm so glad that you're part of our family. And then you put in the hard part. However, I really need you to be respectful to me when you're not wanting to do the chore or you're not wanting to, you know, go by some of the things that we do as this family. Mm-hmm. And so start off with something soft, go with the hard thing, and then end with soft. I love you very much. But we need to work on this together, and I know we can do it.
Okay. Soft, hard. Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. Start with something soft. We're going to get through this, and then mention the difficult, and then close with, but we have
soft, kind of like
this.
A sandwich. I left off the soft and at the end. So soft, hard, soft. So you're putting the hard thing in between two soft things.
Okay. Awesome.
So, and that works with our spouse too. So
It would.
Or anyone really, any communication that works. Start off really nice, bring up the hard part, and then end with nice and soft.
Oh, well, and you were talking in the book, you mentioned about God being the best co-parent to struggling single parents. So can you speak a little more about that?
Boy, I tell you what, I mean, I know we're all believers here, and we all know we have to have, you know, the co-parent, co-pilot, whatever you want to call, mm-hmm. you know, God to walk beside us, praying, you know, daily. And I think if you're a single parent or whether you're, you know, a married individual with bonus kids, I just think prayer is so important, not only for yourself, but I think it's a great tool to even model to your kids. I know I've had patients say, oh, that's such a private thing. I don't like to pray out loud. And I get that. But, you know, I think it's such a good tool to model to our kids. Hey, I know you're anxious about this test that's starting today. So let me just, you know, hold your hand. And let's just pray. God, I pray that you'd help her to or him to remember the things we went over this morning and help her to feel relaxed. And so it is a co-parent. And then that gives, you know, it's a co-parent for us, but it's also for the kids, too. They need to have a co-pilot, you know, or another parent, you know, that's helping them, meaning God. So I think it's so important for them to be able to learn to go to God, because, boy, he's available, as we know, 24/7. And boy, how wonderful that is. And he loves to listen.
True. Yeah. True. Would you say that's even a tool for married couples, not just the singles, for them to introduce that other parent? Even though there's dad and mom there, there's two parents. Would that be a good resource?
Yes. Yeah. Just the other, you know, the couple together, that, yeah, it's very important for them to realize, hey, we go to God and we ask him, what is the best way to do this? Or we, you know, I love that scripture, James 1:5, that says, if we want wisdom and good judgment, all we have to do is pray to God and ask, and he will gladly give it to us. I'm paraphrasing there, but, and it does say gladly. He wants us to have wisdom and knowledge as we're raising all these kids. And so I think as a couple, to work on praying together. And if your spouse doesn't like to pray out loud or whatever, say, well, I'll do it, and hold their hand and pray. And hopefully eventually they'll get used to that. And it's such a powerful thing that we're, you know, going before God asking for help as we're trying to raise these kids, and, you know, to help our marriage, because it's really stressful on marriages. If you look at the percentage of couples that divorce after they are remarried, it's higher than the first marriage. And so, because of the adjustments of the kids, the bonus kids. And so we just have to, and I'm not trying to be discouraging. The hope is, I mean, they've actually done studies that the people that succeed are the ones that get the knowledge and the information and are intentional about applying that to their marriages.
Intentionality. Wow. So another topic you touch on in the book are the kids and how they're exposed to a lot. So our kids are growing up quicker because of what they're exposed to. You know, we have TikTok and YouTube and everything. They can just swipe, swipe, swipe. And so what's a good technique to tackle that?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a really hard one. And if you have a bonus child that you're trying to, you know, take their phone away or not let them use things, phones are really important to everybody. And especially kids, you know, that's their way they kind of disconnect, you know, and they kind of internalize and go inward. But if you're not happy with what they're doing or what, you know, that they're looking at it while you're talking to them or whatever, I think it's important to pull in the biological parent, because I think so many of the bonus parents think they need to be the one also disciplining the kids, the bonus kid. And really, the research shows it goes better, especially at the beginning, that the biological parent helps with that type of discipline. And so if the phone needs to be in timeout, or if it needs to be taken away at the dinner table or whatever, then I think the biological parent needs to address that. And, you know, I've had, you know, parents say, you know, at their other parent, they're allowed to, you know, take the phone into the bedroom and stay on it all night as long as they're in bed. And so I know we all laugh about it. Go, really? Are there parents that do that? Yes, there really are. And wow. So, and it may even be the other parent. I mean, but regardless, the biological parents need to address that, not the bonus parent. Because it really does take a long time for the adjustments to happen. Long time meaning, if you look at the research, 5 to 7 years for the bonus child to feel comfortable with the new parent. So I think you really have to be very careful about that.
Yeah. See, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a long time.
Half a decade. Yeah, that's crazy.
I know, isn't that? I know. And I know I'm sounding so discouraging, but the reality is it is hard. It is hard. And I, you know, I really do. If I have couples coming in going, oh, he has three, I have four kids, so we're going to have seven kids. I'm like, that's great. Okay, let's look at, you know, the realistic things that are going to happen and how we can deal with that. Because if you jump in thinking, oh, this is all going to be this wonderful, happy family, I'm going to love all my bonus kids, not going to happen. Because, yeah.
Because there's a lot of personalities. And yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yes. And I've even had, you know, bonus parents say, okay, I hate to say this, and I'm so glad my you know, spouse isn't here, but I don't like their kid. Their kid is a brat. Yeah. Their kid is being disrespectful. I don't even like them. And so I'm glad that they have a place to share. And I said, of course, we don't ever share that, you know, with the child. But so we talk about that everybody, including the kid, you know, they may not like you either. And so we just have to learn to understand. And I do talk about the different personalities and how we can learn to look at the strengths and the weaknesses of each person's personality. And everybody has them, not just one person. So you have to, and that'll help them later in life. You know, it'll, and they've done some research that actually shows also, I'm a big research person, as you can tell. But it also says if we can learn to appreciate personality differences when we're younger, that it's, we're easier to, you know, get along with when we're at work. We can get along with the people who are difficult. You may still not like them, but at least you can understand their strength and weaknesses of their personality.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, so that's kind of how I, you know, see it is you don't have to love what the person does or how they live their life, but love the person like Jesus did.
Absolutely.
For your family, especially yes, those kids, you know.
Yeah, and definitely go into Jesus. Jesus, I'm having a hard time with this kid. I love him. I know he's created in your image. I want to love him. Please help me to see the good side here. And then when you pray that, I guarantee you, they're thinking it. So they need to be praying too. Help me to understand this new, you know, bonus parent that I do not even want in my life. And, you know, they're probably not praying that, but you know they're thinking it. So pray for them too, because it's hard. I mean, these kids come into my counseling room and boy, I tell you what, there are some heart-wrenching stories that you just like, really? Are parents really doing this? And I'm not saying, you know, I believe everything that the kids say, but, you know, it's how they're perceiving it. And your heart is just ripped out. And you know, I just wish some of the bonus parents could hear some of those. And I share some of the conversations, obviously not giving names, but just to let them know, this is really how hurt it is. They're hurting. Like, you know, a lot of kids, they call it, there's a term called divided loyalties. And the kids are saying, I feel like I'm being torn between the parents. You know, I go home, you know, to where I live, meaning whoever has custody, and then they're giving me, you know, the fifth degree. What happened? You know, what'd your dad spend money on, or your mom? What did y'all do? What did you not do? You know, just, and it puts the kid in such a horrible position. And, you know, and then the kids have even shared, they can't even come home and be excited to share with their parent what exciting thing they did at their other parent with the bonus parent, because if it's nice and fun, then they feel like, you know, the other parent's going to be mad. And sometimes they are, they get upset. And so they don't even share all this fun things that are going on. And so you just have to realize it's so hard for them.
Yeah. Ran into that myself with, with my bonus daughter. So I get it.
Yes. Yeah.
She, like, she couldn't tell things to her mom, you know, because mom would get upset. So, and that's really hard on a kid.
It is.
It really is.
So we're
speaking because you're wanting to.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, because, you know, as a kid, you're excited that you've had fun. And so, you know, if you've learned some kind of new craft with the new stepmom, you know, or bonus mom, and you're wanting to tell your mom about it because she likes stuff like that too, and yet you can't share it. And, you know, or the kids feel like they can't. So there's it's almost like it's a part of their life they can't share. And I won't get into it. It's pretty deep psychologically, but that can set them up for keeping secrets later in life. And that can cause so many problems. You just have no idea the things that can happen when you start learning to keep that secret, those secret things, you know, at such a young age. So.
Yeah. Speaking with the author of Understanding and Loving Your Bonus Child, Dr. Connie Clark, we appreciate all your insight today. And another topic you touched on in this book was finding ways to have fun and the importance of kids being kids. What can you share with us about that today?
Yeah, you know, I had a couple come in and they hadn't gotten married yet. And he said, and I'm not just saying it's guys because girls can be that way too. And he said, you know, I love this woman. I love her kids. But, you know, I just don't know if I can handle all this silliness and fun that they're always wanting to do. I'm a serious person. I need to work and focus on my career. And I try to be honest. I'm a very direct, but kind counselor. But I do share with someone that shares something like that, that, okay, if you don't want to have fun and you're getting ready to marry someone with four kids, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, so, and so I go, you really need to think twice about this because you don't marry someone with kids and then you don't want to have fun because it's just not going to work. And I've had people go, that's just not who I am. Well, if you're going to get married, you need to learn to have fun and kids will help you. They love to have fun. And I think it's so important to find ways. And what's really good about fun and kids is, you know, fun is a good way to deal with stress. And if you look at research, if you look at kids playing when they're young, toddlers and, you know, and so forth, they do a lot of playing and even, you know, imagination playing. And that's part of stress management for kids. It's a good way to help them get out a lot of the anxiety and stress. And so it's so important to have fun. And of course, having fun is a great way to bond with your bonus child, yeah, as well as with the whole family. And if you can't think of things, ask the kids. You know, they're hearing things at school. Man, that was fun. They went in, you know, went hang gliding, which I know that sounds scary, or zip lining. That's a big thing, you know. Yeah. So listen to what they're saying. If you can't think of fun things, there is so much material out there on what fun things you can do with your kids. And so use those resources. I love the internet for that purpose. Just there's so much resource. And if you're not creative thinking of things, you know, think about when you were a kid. But they love to have fun and it really helps with, you know, the bonding, and it'll help it go faster instead of, like you said, that, you know, 5-7 years sounds so long.
Yeah.
You know, if we're spending a lot more fun time with them. So in other words, you're focusing on the kids.
Yeah.
You're focusing on the kids. Yeah.
So what I hear you saying, Dr. Clark, is it's really a self thing first, getting yourself in the right mindset.
Yes, absolutely. And I tell you what, it can be hard. You know, I even remember the early times, you know, when I was first married and the kids didn't like some of the things that I cooked. I mean, I took it so personal. I'm like, oh, this is silly. So they don't like my spaghetti, but that's my best meal, you know.
Oh.
And then I'm like, okay, they, you know, but it was, they're like, what are these little green things? I'm like, what green? I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's a little bit of bell pepper and I'm not eating it. There's something green in there, you know. And so you have to, you know, what I call the voice of truth. And I know there's a song by, I think it's Mercy Me or Third Day that sings
Third
the
Day.
Voice of truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Third Day. Yeah. And I think about that song that my voice of truth is, okay, it doesn't mean they don't love me because they don't like the little green things in my spaghetti. And so, you know, there's all kinds of ways to help kids with that. If they don't like what you've cooked, then you can say, okay, you always have the option of making yourself. And I always think that's important, that they can do something like make themselves a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or eat cereal. It's okay. They're going to be fine if they eat a sandwich or cereal for dinner.
Yeah.
And eventually they eventually start liking your different things that you do that are different. And that's usually what it is. They don't like something that's different, whether it's food or, you know, how you do chores or how you do bedtime routines, all those things. They like things to be consistent. But you know what? That's part of helping them to become successful adults again, is learning that you have to adjust and adapt. That is one of my key phrases that I tell the kids I see in counseling, adjust and adapt. And that's life. You know, you may have a new boss at work. You have to adjust and adapt. And so new teachers. And so it's just it's so hard. It's a growing experience for everybody.
Yeah. So this is Dr. Say that 5 times fast. Dr. Connie Clark, thank you as always for being on our show today. We have Sierra and Megan today taking care of the Positive Chats podcast. Your book is Understanding and Loving Your Bonus Child. Now, where can we find more information about you and your book?
Actually, I've co-authored it with, I have the book right here with Steve Arbor with New Life. And You can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, but you can also get it on New Life. So you can, any book resource place. I think New Life has it a little bit cheaper, so you might run over to newlife.com and take a look there. And so, of course, I think it's a great book, but it's such a good resource, and you may not be able to read it all at one time. And one of the things that I've had some people say, they're like, I just don't have time to read the whole book. And I said, one of the things I did is I put summary tips at the end of each chapter. So everything that I brought into each chapter is summarized in like one sentence at the end. So there's like four or five bullet points. So even if you don't have time to read the whole thing, or you're doing it slowly, read some of those bullet points. They will help.
Yeah. Then you can go back and read more details on it if you need.
Yes. Yes.
All right. And we are giving away one of your books today. So.
All right. That's great.
So to our listeners, text the word, well, let's see.
Bonus. Not step.
Yes.
Not step, child.
I was just going to think that. Bonus. I think just say, text the word bonus in to 419-240-1937, and we will get that book out to you. And Dr. Connie Clark, a quick prayer for all the parents out there and the children.
Yes. Do you want me to close in prayer? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, please.
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful radio station and how it gives you the glory and of all the positive things that it does. We thank you for that. And I thank you for these wonderful women this morning that have interviewed me and pray blessings on them. Father, I just pray for the bonus parents. And I know that that is such a dear thing to my heart, but I know it's even more dear to you. And I just pray that you would just give calmness and peace and wisdom and good judgment, as James 1:5 says. We pray and ask that you just descend upon the bonus parents and help them to find the resources that they need. And obviously, if it's not my book, some other resource. And I pray that churches will embrace bonus families too, and just begin to help them too. We love you, and we know that you want us to be happy in our relationships. And we give you all the glory. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Connie Clark. The book is Sierra.
Understanding and Loving Your Bonus Child.
Check it on a New Life or Amazon. And thank you for being on today.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
You as well.